Hello, friends. This is Fred Dominguez. In the first few verses of the book of Acts, Luke filled in the gap between the end of his narrative in the gospel record and the events surrounding the Lord's ascension into heaven, which began his second narrative to Theophilus. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 3, Luke says that Jesus appeared to his apostles over a period of 40 days after his resurrection, and that he spoke to them of the things concerning the kingdom of God. Wouldn't it be interesting to know the details of those discussions? The apostles were undoubtedly full of all kinds of questions, many of which I imagine were unimportant in the big picture. We know very little about these encounters, except for the few specific records of post-resurrection appearances. One of these appearances is recorded in the final chapter of the Gospel of John. Notable on this occasion is the miraculous catch of fish which Jesus provided for the disciples. They had been fishing all night but had caught nothing. When Jesus told them to cast their net on the right-hand side of the boat, they caught 153 large fish. When the disciples landed their boat and their catch, they found a charcoal fire going and fish and bread already prepared for them by the Lord, who invited them to eat breakfast with him. After breakfast, Jesus got down to the business of discussing the things concerning the kingdom of God. Part of what he discussed was a prophetic statement of how Peter would die and a command for Peter to follow him. The text of this exchange is found in John chapter 21, verses 18 through 23. The rest of what the Lord discussed on that occasion is found in verses 15 through 17, and it is this part of the discussion that we will consider today. When Jesus and his disciples had finished eating breakfast that day, the Lord asked Peter a question. Now, we all understand the purpose of a question. It is to evoke some kind of response from another. Some questions are significant. Others are foolish or silly. Some questions require very little thought and response, while others cause us to search deep within ourselves before answering. The Lord's question was one that may have appeared at first to be rather simple, if not superfluous. Yet it was and is an all-important question, not just for Peter, to whom it was addressed, but to all of us who are called by the Lord's name. So we'll read the full text of the Lord's conversation with Peter in John chapter 21, verses 15 through 17. The scripture says, "So when they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?' He said to them, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Tend my lambs.' He said to him again a second time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' He said to him, 'Yes, Lord, you know that I love you.' He said to him, 'Shepherd my sheep.' He said to him the third time, 'Simon, son of John, do you love me?' Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, 'Do you love me?' And he said to him, 'Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you.' Jesus said to him, 'Tend my sheep.'" Now, at first blush, the Lord's question seems innocent enough. After all, how hard is it to tell someone you love them, right? Now, right about now, those women who are listening to this program are probably thinking something like, "Well, if you only knew my husband, you know how hard it is for some people to say those words." Well, actually, it's not the speaking of the words that is so difficult. Anyone can say, "I love you." It's speaking them with a heartfelt conviction that certifies their truthfulness. If one's actions don't say, "I love you," the words are worse than meaningless to the recipient of them. Now, if this is true in our human relationships, how much more so was it in the case of Peter in our text? Remember that this was the Peter who was the spokesman in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16 when the disciples declared that Jesus was the Son of God. This was the Peter who rebuked the Lord in Matthew 16, verse 22, when he foretold of his suffering and death at the hands of the chief priests and scribes. This was also the very same Peter who declared in Matthew 26 and verse 33 that he would never fall away from the Lord, but who then denied the Lord three times before the sun rose the next day. In a sense, these questions are as if the Lord were telling Peter to put up or shut up. Peter had to know, without a doubt, if he truly loved the Lord, and if he would be willing to do what the Lord had in store for him. For Peter, the Lord's questions were his moment of truth. Now, as we read the Lord's questions in English, we see no special significance to them. Three times the Lord asked, "Do you love me?" And three times Peter said, "Yes, I love you." In English, it seems to us that the Lord was pressing the point for no apparent reason. Peter said that he loved the Lord. What did he need to do to prove it? Well, this is exactly the point, and it is most certainly seen when the conversation is considered in the Greek language. For unlike English, which has only the single word love to describe what Jesus had in mind, the Greek language has several words that may be translated by the English word love. In verses 15 and 16 of our text, when Jesus asked Peter, "Do you love me?" he used the verb from form of the Greek word agape. Now this word, as it is used in the New Testament, conveys the highest, purest, and noblest concept of love. It is a selfless love that acts for the good of its object without regard to anything which the object of that love has done. This form of love is an act of the will rather than being the response of one's emotions. This is the word exclusively used to describe God's character, especially in his decision to send his Son to be the sacrifice for our sins. Thus, in these two verses, when Jesus asked if Peter loved him, he was asking if Peter had the highest, purest, and noblest form of love for his master. Once again, when we read this conversation in English, Peter's responses seem to be directly to the point. It is only when we see Peter's choice of words in the Greek text that we begin to see why the Lord pressed him so. In all three cases, Peter responded not with the appropriate form of agape, but rather with the verb form of another word, phileo. This Greek word may also be translated by the English word love, but it conveys the idea of affection that is dependent upon the response of the object of that affection. We see phileo in the expression brotherly love and in reference to such things as friendship or care or concern for one's fellow man. This word is never used as a description of God's love for us and is never commanded of us. Phileo is not an act of the will, but a reaction to the actions of others. In some sense of the word, Peter was saying, "Lord, you know I'm your friend." He was offering a true response as to his devotion to the Lord, but it was not expressed at the higher level characterized by the term agape. It might be fairer to Peter to say that he was telling the Lord that he had deep affection for him, which might be more than mere friendship, but even this is still far short of what agape is, isn't it? Whatever the best explanation of Peter's choice of words might be, it is clear that his expression of love was not the same as the Lord's expression. Interestingly enough, the third time the Lord asked Peter if he loved him, he used the same word that Peter had been using. Commentators are divided as to what the significance of this is, or if there is any significance to it. Some commentators suggest that the different words for love used here represent only John's style of writing, which they say often included the use of slight variations in words. Such a technique of writing seems more suited to a formally educated writer like Luke or Paul than to a fisherman. Plus, this idea can foster the impression that the gospel writers made superfluous emendations to the text just to suit their personalities. Such a view tends to diminish our understanding of inspiration. Now, in contrast to this, it seems more likely that the Lord purposely chose the words he used in order to draw Peter's attention, as well as that of the other disciples, to the kind of love that would be required of them in his service. Up to this point, Peter and the rest of the apostles had generally shown only fondness and affection for the Lord, rather than the sacrificial choice of the will which he had shown by going to the cross. When Jesus was taken in the garden, all of the disciples fled. When Jesus was being tried before the high priest, Peter denied him three times. They all loved Jesus, but it was with the lower, human, emotional love, whose steadfastness is largely dependent on circumstances. Peter was clearly in the Lord's focus, but they all had to learn that they must attain to the higher form of love of which Jesus was speaking. As Jesus questioned Peter and received his responses, The Lord then revealed what he required of Peter in order to demonstrate the love that he was professing. In verse 15, Jesus told Peter, "Tend my lambs." In verse 16, the Lord said, "Shepherd my sheep." And in verse 17, he said, "Tend my sheep." Earlier, during the course of the final Passover meal that Jesus shared with his disciples, he had spoken to them about many things having to do with their lives after he returned to heaven. One of the most important things the Lord said to them is recorded in John chapter 14 and verse 15. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." We point this out right here because Jesus used the same word for love in this statement that he did in his first two questions to Peter. The point is that obedience to the Lord is not based upon affection or emotion. It is an act of the will, a choice that is made because it is the right thing to do. In Peter's case, even though he did not respond with the word indicating this higher form of love, the Lord still called him to obedience. What the Lord was saying to Peter is, "If you love me as you say, take care of my flock, from the least of them to the greatest of them." As the Lord defined it, love, like faith, requires action in order to be valid. He did not quibble with Peter about Peter's choice of words. He did not chastise Peter for not expressing the higher form of love. He simply pointed Peter to the higher form of love and then revealed to him that no matter where he was on the scale of love, he was still required to do the Lord's will. I believe that this is why Jesus reverted to Peter's word for love in verse 17. It is as if the Lord were saying, "Peter, if all you have for me is human affection at this point in your life, then put that to use in obedience to my will. Care for my flock, and in time, you'll love me at the higher level to which you've been called." This seems to be supported by the conclusion of this chapter where Jesus revealed the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God, and then by Jesus telling Peter in verse 22 to not worry about John or any others, but to follow him. Jesus had a job for Peter and the rest of the apostles to do, and it would require their utmost to accomplish it. It would require the sacrificial love, the act of the will that is defined by the word for love that Jesus used in his first two questions to Peter. When we think about this event in the Lord's life and in Peter's encounters with the Lord, we have to understand that this question still applies today. "Do you love me?" still applies today, and it will apply until the Lord comes again. You see, the Lord asks it every day to each one of us, whether we are Christians or not. Many say in response to this question, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," even though their actions often say otherwise. It is still the case that if we love Jesus, we will keep his commandments. This means that if we have not yet obeyed the gospel, we do not truly love the Lord. It means also that if we are Christians who are not caring for the flock, we also do not love the Lord. Neither of these situations is pleasing to him. He calls us to love him, which means to obey his will and to help the flock, the body of Christ, to make it to heaven. As the Lord told Peter, so he tells us today. At whatever level we love him, we must obey him. As we practice obedience over time, our love will grow into the highest and purest and noblest kind. We will grow into the sacrificial love that Jesus showed by going to the cross. And then, at that time, we will be all that the Lord wants us to be. The Lord is asking, "Do you love me?" What's your answer? Thanks very much for listening today. Please join us again next time for Let the Bible Speak.